Teachers, administrators, and other school staff play an important role.
Education can be a shining light, and it's really the equalizer for everybody.
You are making a difference in people's lives, including your students.
You can have a really bad day at school and still realize that what you're doing is making a bigger difference.
We are the best profession in the world next to doctors, but even a doctor had a teacher.
Find what helps at cdcfoundation.org/how right now.
This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
It's the Trim Healthy Podcast with Pearl, Aaron, and Danny. You know, obviously Serene's not here, and we have a special guest, not so much filling in, but we wanted you either way. Aaron, tell us your last name.
Harrison.
Harrison.
Put that little mic close.
I had Harrison in my head, and I, you know how it is when you second guess yourself, and then you just dare not?
You dare not.
You dare
May
not.
I introduce her, though? Because she's related to me.
Yeah, tell us about Aaron.
Mm-hmm. Not by blood, but by grandchild.
We are co-grandmothers.
Yeah, we are.
Co-grandparenting. We are.
So my son, Noble, married her daughter, Megan, and they had a baby, little Isla, and she is in between us. So we're like the, you know, the wild grandmothers. We
and
have fun.
She has my looks.
Yes, she looks. She looks exactly nothing amazing.
Just me.
And
football.
She has her personality, Aaron's personality, which is cray cray. But we did love her. We love her
so.
But anyway, yeah. So you said obviously Serene's not here. Well, there's a reason she's stuck in Mexico.
She's stuck.
Yeah. We all went to Mexico for a trip. And then her family was there. So they all decided to do this longer Mexico trip, the whole family. And then they were supposed to be back 2 days ago, but the ice storms. And so still the planes are being canceled on them. So she was supposed to be sitting here. And at one point, Serene and I talked about, let's get Aaron. But since Serene's not here, I'm just like, let's get Aaron.
Hold on, though. Can we say stuck? We're in an ice storm. She's in Mexico.
I know. But guess what?
Are we stuck?
She's run out of moisturizer. They've run out of pesos.
What?
Their B&B that they rented, they had to get out. So when I say they're stuck in Mexico, they are stuck
but
in Mexico.
But you said something that's not a real problem. She ran out of moisturizer.
That's a big problem. She had this grass-fed butter, and she's been putting it on her face. She told me this morning.
How critical is moisturizer?
It's critical, Danny.
When you're trapped
in
Mexico.
Listen, if there was one thing I would take out of a burning house, if there was, like, it would be moisture.
It's your moisture.
It's my orange silk on my fountain.
So when somebody says to you, you're stranded on a desert island, you get to bring two things. One of them is moisturizer.
Absolutely. What about you, Aaron, or are you not?
I am a moisturizer.
You have to.
I am so a moisturizer.
Or else you go around all day and your face feels dry. And
Does mine look dry?
No, it looks very supple and Spanish.
I've never put a drop of moisturizer.
Probably why.
Okay, this is for white folk.
No. No, you're racist. If you ask...
I'm the ethnic.
I know. But if you asked any woman...
I'm ethnic.
She is.
You're
She's actually
ethnic.
Mostly...
Yes, I am.
She is.
I am a Native American.
Look at her. Okay.
I have the papers.
Look at her hair and imagine it was dark black. Now look at her face.
Look at my cheekbones.
I'm seeing
She's
it a little
totally
bit.
She's totally Native Indian. Yeah. How much a Native Indian are you?
1/16.
I'd say with
but
those boots, she's 100%.
Listen, with these boots on, I'm telling you that I have the papers. I
she
am a
paper.
Third
Purebred?
Line descendant of the Mohican tribe. So I virtually am the last of the Mohicans.
Whoa, yes, Daniel Day-Lewis.
And you're wearing a special little yellow
this
dress.
This is a special Mohican.
This represents, I think, Aaron so much. And you're going to get to know her. We're actually going to, we're not just here to chat. There's an amazing story we're going to pull out of Aaron that I think is going to be so inspiring for all of you guys. But just may we chat a bit longer.
Yes.
Because look at her
look
little
at
yellow dress with her boots. Now, this is so
farm
Aaron.
Boots.
Now, just look. She has tulle underneath her dress.
And pantyhose.
Aaron's life is just one party, and that's how she dresses, how she lives.
Party on, Wayne.
But I wanted you guys
on,
to get to know her story a little bit. And I think, you know, we share a grandchild and all of that. And so you and I have become close friends. But... you, Aaron, have inspired me in so many ways. Like when I look at your life, I think of fun, yes, joy. But I do think of sacrifice that has turned into joy or sacrifice as joy. I'm not sure the way I would term it, but certainly you have given your life away and you have found joy. And I just, I look at your life and I think, wow, how does she do it? But whenever I talk to you, see you, hang out with you, you are one of the most joyful, happiest people I know. So just to, like, I guess, shed some background. So you raised 5 children like me. We have that in common. Mm-hmm. And I'll just leave it there and you can kind of start from there. Raised 5 children. Yeah.
Raised 5 children. And then in the midst of it, I was homeschooling your children.
That's right. You
moved here to the sticks. Mm-hmm. And let's just back up to that story because that's pretty funny.
That's funny.
So we have this guy that comes to the church occasionally and he's always got all these guns on him.
We're talking about Hilltop Church here, my dad's church.
Yeah. So he has all these guns and stuff. And we used to have these long, laborious overkill stories about conspiracies and stuff at our home. And my husband and I, you know, we just were so thankful that these people wanted to hang out with us and they would come and have these church services. And they kept telling me to come to this church here in Prim Springs called Above Ruby's Church.
And
and then we were like, it's got to be a cult.
Yeah.
We were so scared.
Especially because this guy's a guns guy.
We were like, oh no, what are we getting involved with? And we refused to go. I thought, there's no way. And then his wife kept saying, Aaron, you would so love them because there's 2 women there and they write books just like you. And I thought, really? They write books? Wow, this is getting really interesting. So I went online to look up pictures about this Above Ruby's and I saw Vange.
Well,
and
Sister
she was
Vange.
Wearing this kind of scandalous looking dress with her arm all hanging out. And I thought, well, Lisa's not a cult. Because if it was a cult, there's no way
she'd be buttoned up.
Yeah, she would be buttoned up for sure.
Actually, anyone sees Vange, they think opposite of cult.
Yeah.
And then she was with Steve. Your brother Steve, and I thought they were a husband and wife or something. I don't know. And then I come the first time, and mind you, Adam was there, and he was in his Muslim gown.
Oh, yeah.
So then that was a great impression.
Back to cult.
Yeah.
You've got all sorts that come. I know Danny used to come to our church. He knows what it's
man,
like.
Oh, yeah.
It's a riot.
Oh. So we come there, and Vange, her whole family thought I was one of Mark's children, and he was a widow. They had it all worked up in their brain.
I was
the special needs daughter.
You came.
Because I kept going.
Wait, and you look, you came with your 2 teenage daughters. They were. And I thought you were one of the daughters too. You look young.
But then I kept going to Vange, like, this is wavy.
I almost got beat up there once.
Sure.
Lots of interesting things happened at the Hilltop Church.
Yeah, I was being unruly with her brother and sister, as usual. Mm-hmm. And
in the middle of church,
yeah, because it's just a riot there. You just talk and interrupt and stuff. And this older fella didn't like it, and he gave me a talking to afterwards. Yeah. End of story.
Wow.
But we do need to get to the meat of the story, Aaron. So
then I homeschooled your children. We moved up here.
You moved. You realized we weren't a cult
after your house burned down.
That's right.
Well, we were going to move in,
and my son and your daughter were little 14 year olds.
Fell in love. They fell in love.
We were like, what do we do with this nonsense?
Well, then they were just
14, but they fell in love.
They did. And I was the ultimate chaperone because I was teaching them every day. So that was just brilliant.
That's the title of a movie. They're 14, but they fell in love.
Yeah. Hey, look. They got married and had a baby.
I know. And it was just
someone
amazing.
Someone just like dropped milk on their counter. Like 14. Y'all just moved past it quickly. I just wanted to camp for a minute.
And I was just.
They did. They literally fell in love, and we were like, they're too young. But we thought we kind of let it happen.
But I was with your mom on that. I was like, let's just get them married now.
Yeah, you did. And I was like, we were like, no, let's wait.
Question. Because I have children that age.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I can't imagine.
Yeah.
What I would say if one of my children at that age was like, I'm in love.
Yeah, and it wasn't just like crush. It was like. They
were like old people having fights,
and so they went to school together for all those years.
Remember all the little old people squabblings?
They grew up together.
Like, did you leave the toilet seat up. Like when I'm teaching them, I'm like, what?
How do you advise? Like, how did you, because obviously there's supervision involved.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
How do you advise a 14-year-old?
I know.
Considering marriage.
Well, they weren't considering marriage back then when they were probably were. Okay. But not for that time. They knew they'd have to wait.
Oh, but you saw maturity?
Way longer. Noble wanted to get married much quicker than she did. Yeah. Right on the dot of 18, he wanted to be married. He did.
Is this podcast going to get DHS sent out?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, no, we said to them, because 14 is pretty young, and it wasn't just, oh, I like her, I like him. They felt like they'd found the ones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And we said, remember that first year where we said, well, okay, great, you're just special friends. So how about not a lot of alone time? Didn't we say that?
Right. But they never really did.
No, it was
Noble
always
was
with...
too afraid to even bring her out on a date.
Yeah.
Remember that? He was afraid
of
my husband.
So they kind of loved each other. Yeah, in good reason.
Because Mark is so tall and big and he looks very young.
So they kind of loved each other, but they were friends at the same time. Yeah. And then probably the second year they were allowed alone time. But not like a lot of alone time, but they could...
Not really. I don't think they ever were alone.
You know, I almost called you this morning, Pearl.
Yeah.
Because Lisa and I were talking about...
for a walk or something.
Or for a walk, yes. Yeah. A walk.
Yeah.
Let them do a walk. You can't get...
And Junior would follow close behind.
Yeah. Their,
on his bicycle.
Their brother.
Yeah, a little
exactly.
Attendant. Yeah, I like to send my younger son off with my older... Yes,
because a lot of crazy things can happen with 14-year-olds, right?
Yes. We were thinking anyways.
So we were thinking that.
Because they're
kind
of mindless.
Really good, yes, but they kept good heads on their shoulders too. I don't know
they
how
were
we lucked
so
out.
They
were
so good.
Well, some people are super mature for
But
their
what
age.
Were you going to ask? Because then we're going to get to the story of why we're here.
Well, I wanted to ask about sort of your boundaries with teenagers.
Yeah.
Because... And I was really, and then I thought, oh, maybe I'll ask on the podcast. So this is
a good time.
Right time because
perfect timing.
I've got a 17-year-old who always likes to be gone. Like if he can, he will not enter the home. He wants to spend the night out.
Yeah.
He'll come in, do his laundry. He wants to get to the, he's very social. Hmm. And we totally support that. We try to.
Yeah, because he's a chip off the old block.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we try to let him. We try to say yes as much as we can. But did you, with your teen, because you've had teens that have gone on and moved out, but when they were in that transition where they're like ready to move out, they could live on their own, they've got bank accounts, but they're still living with you. Did you put any guidelines around how many days a week you could be gone? If you could be alone with a girl, like how hovering, how much did you hover? And do you have kids that have...
I have a 17-year-old right now, Danny.
So I would love to hear from you
male.
Two both.
On,
He's a male. Okay.
Yeah, so...
Very masculine.
I mean, I don't know. Once our children were 18, we said, hey, you make your own decisions now, but we'll still advise if you want our input.
And they still live there.
Yeah, but once...
But you decide your day, your schedule.
No, we're not making rules for them then. However... Okay. If they want to live at our home, well, the home has some rules.
Okay.
But like when they're still 17, 16, we're still in charge. So to us, like if you are with, you know, like if you're like our son Noble and you're with a girl, oh my goodness, she is precious and you better do the right thing and you better not be alone with her if her parents don't want that. And you better abide by every stinking rule they ever come up with.
Okay. But you don't guarantee it. Like once he drives out of the driveway... You're not like, hey, make sure there's another person in the room. Like, you can't be alone. Like, how much?
We weren't that much, were we? We weren't even.
You and I are Because
I think I'm too much.
Similar.
Yes.
Mark and I have always, our parenting strategy was always to let them know that you trust them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because if they feel that they have your trust, they don't want to let you down.
But we also didn't want to do stupid trust.
So they have their own conscience.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we try to let them have enough freedom to make dumb choices a little bit so that they're still in an insulated environment, you know. Where
are they allowed to kiss?
When the first year they weren't, certainly. I don't know if they did. But certainly when they were like getting...
There's talk.
Yeah,
but we don't know for
sure. Well, I do think that, okay, we're talking to a lot of Christians in our podcast here. Some are not. So some of this might sound really cray-cray. There's certain Christians that don't even like kissing until like the wedding day.
The wedding day.
The wedding day.
Yeah.
And that's fine for them. We haven't been like that. Like,
I think it was after they were engaged. Yeah. Maybe.
I mean,
but it wasn't anything like big time or anything.
I don't know if there were makeup sessions. That's not for me to know. But all I'm saying is, I don't know. It was a beautiful thing to watch. I think their relationship.
I think they handled themselves wonderfully.
Amazingly.
Way better than I ever did.
Way.
Let's not go there.
Really leaned in.
I know. Hey, but so let's get to the story.
Okay. So what happened was, this is so critical to tell that story because.
Okay, we're 15 minutes in.
That was why I got into foster care, because they were all becoming independent and growing up, and I worked myself out of the job. They're all getting careers already. You know, our children worked at an earlier age, for some of them for your company.
Yeah, that's right.
So they were earning a living. They were working, coming home, doing all their own stuff, cooking their own food and everything. So I was just, I didn't feel so needed. So I thought, well, you know what? I should just go adopt a couple of kids. So
who thinks
just
that?
Just on a Wednesday.
Yeah. Just thought, yeah. So I signed up for foster care. And the first call I got, they said there was this little four-year-old boy that needed to be adopted. His name was Alex. And I said, oh, I'll just bring him on over. We'll adopt him. No problem. They said, oh, but here's the catch. You got to go meet somebody in a hospital parking lot. I said, oh, that sounds a little fishy.
A little sketchy.
When I got there, I'm thinking it's going to be this beautiful little boy that just running around, going to run into my arms and say, oh, thank you for wanting to adopt me.
Yeah.
And then it was this little boy where his head was almost
exactly. Well, you went to the hospital, right?
To the parking lot.
Oh, they brought him out.
In a dark parking lot.
Hold on. How did they bring him out?
They took him out of the back of the car. This was a different person I didn't know.
Okay.
They pulled him out from the back of this car seat, and I could see his head was almost this. His head was bigger than my head.
Yes.
And
yes.
It was
almost and his little big body. His little body was about the size of the head. Yeah.
Yes. And I was like, whoa, what's going on? And there was this thing coming out of his throat, and he had this trach thing coming out of here, and you could hear him making these grunting noise through this thing coming out of his neck. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what in the world's going on here? We go, and he's like this top level special needs child. I had no idea when they called me that was what we were getting into. So, of course, we go up there, and we're in a hospital room, and they're hooking up all these machines. They're sucking out mucus out of his neck. And I'm like, whoa. And you can't get near the child. He's just like so frustrated. He grabbed my hair and he pulled like a big clump of hair right out of my head. Then he punched me in the eye and scratched me in the throat. And I was like, oh my goodness, what is going on here? And he had this tube feeding. His belly was out like an Ethiopian type belly, like way distended. And they were feeding him through this tube. And I was like, oh my goodness. So I come home, I ask Vange, I ask her parents, I ask my parents, get some wisdom on this matter. Should I take this kid or not? Or
but what did they said to you? They said to you, he will never walk, never talk, never
speak or
eat. Never eat.
Nothing.
He will be like this
for the rest of his life.
For the rest of his life.
Well, because when you adopt a child without special needs, I mean, it's this epic commitment. Like people just go, wow, I'm so overwhelmed at the thought of it. But to adopt someone with that level of special needs, this is now your life. Like you don't, you're not, like your ambitions, your
everything.
Like I'm putting myself in your shoes, and I'm going, wow, all the things I was gonna do, my plans, my everything is
gone.
Given up.
And it's not just your days, it's your nights. He 24-hour care of this child, right. 24.
And he came with 24-hour healthcare nurses that were gonna be living in our home with us.
But I need to ask you this. I have not asked you this. So you went home. It was just you at the hospital, was it Mark?
No, it was Mark and I.
Okay, so when you went home after like this big shock and talked about it.
We what came home to the party. They were having this big dance, and we came there asked everybody, and everybody was saying to me, there's no way that you could take that child.
I know. I remember
that
thinking
just like,
you would
no,
be
no,
not.
No, you're going to regret
can't.
This. You can't. This is just
I was thinking
thing.
You can't.
You cannot How do could this. You? This is your whole
but,
life.
But what did you and Mark say to one another? Because you obviously
Mark said, if we don't, who will? And then that night I had a dream. I feel like it was a prophetic dream of some prophetic nature from the Lord. Because I was in like Bible times and I was seeing all these like people in gowns and they were on the ground just like very, they were invalids. And I just did what I naturally would do because I didn't know I was in a dream. And I just went to go grab and help one of these people crying out in pain. And then the Lord Jesus' hands, his nail-pierced hands, came through my hands and picked them up. And then I thought, you know what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if God be with me, who can be against me? So I basically had to fight against all the doctors and the specialists and the therapists and everybody because they had such a minimal view of what his progress would be. And they were making a half a million. He was like a cash cow. They kept him. I could tell by the look in that little child's eyes. I could tell that he had a whole life to live and that they were holding him back. And so I just kept fighting battle after battle after battle.
So they wanted
Wow.
The foster care or the adoption care wanted to have him adopted, but he was living in hospital, obviously, had from birth, right? Mm-hmm. At one point you found out he was a twin.
Yep.
And you are in wonderful contact with the mother now, mm-hmm. but she just couldn't look after him. She kept the other twin, right?
And the DCS told her that he had died because she was so heartbroken. She lived in the projects in Nashville and she didn't have any money and both of her parents were murdered and the guy ran off from her. So he didn't take any responsibility. And here she was with two little twin boys that were born at 27 weeks gestation. And one of which was Alex. And the other one, interestingly enough, his name was Aaron.
Wow, really?
And that's my name. Wow. So it was like unbelievable.
So they wanted him adopted out, but then the hospital was not willing to let him go, was not happy to let him go, right?
Well, he was there for a year and a half, and she couldn't physically or financially care for this child.
Okay.
And she had him till he was a year and a half.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes.
She had him at home?
Yes. No.
No, in the hospital.
She just would come frequent to the
and
hospital.
And so she thought he died?
Well, she was always bothering them about how he was doing. She wanted to see pictures of him, and they just got sick of it. They had him in four different foster homes before us.
All right.
And so they just told her that he was dead.
Really? Yeah. So you took Alex home. And I remember because it came with 24 hours, it came with nurses. So nurses had to come to your home and be around the clock to help you. Well,
and that was
because he could die at any time,
yes,
right?
Yes. And it was a really interesting story because all three of the nurses that worked around the clock, they were all in cahoots with each other and they had called the CPS on the three former foster homes. So I knew that I was smart enough to know that we would be next. And we were. They called CPS on us and they came to pick up Alex. And they just lied. I was smart enough because I'm kind of a conspiracy theorist. So that's another thing I am. So I put cameras up around the whole house. So I knew it was coming down the pipeline.
Yeah.
And so when they tried to take him away, I just showed them all the evidence that they lied about everything. And then they got all fired.
Yeah, so I remember that. Like you had help at first because, you know, these nurses, because he can't breathe on his own, eat on his own, do anything on his own. So at any time during the night, he could, you know, so there has to be someone always up, right, with him, always on board.
They had to have their eyes on him at all times.
I remember all the nurses went and it was just you and just Mark with such high special needs. And so, but you always told me, Pearl, And me of little faith, now I'm such a faith person. But back then I was just coming into my faith. I was such a baby faith girl, you know? And I was, she would tell me, Pearl, oh, he will walk. Oh, he will speak. He will eat. And I'd be thinking in my head, well, I'm not sure about that, Aaron.
Everybody thought that way.
But now I'm with you, right?
Because
He does, but I believe in bigger things for him. But I remember,
he walks.
Oh,
he runs.
He runs. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene and Pearl. Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
We're going to tell the story of how this all happened. So then you were there, and everyone said, the doctor said, well, you can't do it on your own. There's no way you could do it on your own. And then you just said, well, just watch me, right?
Yeah.
So pick it up.
By the way,
yeah.
do you have any medical experience before this?
No.
You know training and caring for someone like this?
Nope.
Okay.
But I thought it was easy because I did care for my daughter, Molly, is a type 1 diabetic. So I had some sort of like taking care of her needs was, I felt like it was a lot harder because it was a lot of unpredictable type mm-hmm. stuff with the food and taking the shots. So with Alex, it was just really cut and dry. It was like, oh, okay, you just check this. You suck the throat out and then you have to.
Yeah, but I've seen you do this and it's not easy. It's not.
It's like a couple of scary moments.
Do you remember
here and
once
there.
You asked me to watch him?
Yes. I did it for a joke.
Pearl.
And I said, no, I can't do that. That's just
beautiful. I said, oh, it's so easy. All you do is just put this tube down the neck yes. and then you suck it out. And she's like, what?
Pearl's had all these kids, but somehow there's this part of Pearl that's like a single girl from Malibu.
Yes.
Like there's just this whole like, side of her that's just like,
she's not going to be sucking necks.
I said to Benj,
yeah, I said
text now. To Benj, why she asked me, of all people, right. me. But anyway.
Like I would not call Pearl to babysit my kids.
Hey, I'm babysitting three grandchildren
You're
tonight.
You're babysitting our grandchild tonight.
And ours. Two others. But hey, so anyway, so, yes. but talk to us. So they,
okay, so he had hip dysplasia. He had about 50 different diagnoses.
Yes.
Okay. So it was always the challenge of getting all those things knocked off because I knew that he really didn't have epilepsy because I saw it right in his records right after he got vaccinated. He had these seizures and of course they didn't want to admit that it would be the vaccines, of course, because that would just be so bizarre, you know, to put two and two together like that.
Yeah.
So instead, let's put him on a psychotropic drug. Let's just dope him up so all he can do is go like this.
And then sometimes it'd be violent too, right?
Oh yeah, because the drugs made him violent.
Yeah.
So my first job was like I had like a list, a checklist.
Yeah.
Okay, he's gonna walk, he's gonna talk. And, you know, in the meanwhile, I get another child while
we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
So he needed his hip fixed. Well, first off, his diet. Let's go back to the diet. Yeah. So his belly was out to here, and of course, they don't realize that maybe it's the food they're feeding him, the tube feed.
Yeah.
And look at the main ingredient, canola oil.
Right.
First ingredient.
Oh, they're pumping him with canola oil?
Canola oil. And then
he was
beyond
constantly
that,
sick too. Not only did he have his limitations.
He couldn't even poop on his own.
No,
I had
nothing.
I had to take my finger and shove a suppository up him. And it was a really
strong
medicine.
This is why I'm not babysitting. You can understand that,
I told
right?
her to.
And she says this is easy.
Just put the blue glove on.
She
just
says
put
this
the
is...
glove on, Pearl.
But this is her life now. All you've gone from like, you know, we were both on the stage together where our children are growing. You know, we're doing business things. You were doing your business things. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly you were 24 hours with gloves and pulling stuff out of her throat and poop. And
yes. Well, then I thought, If I know he's going to poop anyways, I might as well potty train him. So I got this little tiny toilet, and every time I'd put the thing in, I would sit him on there and put a movie on for him to watch so he'd relax. And then he learned how to poop on the toilet, and since then he's never pooped
in
his
pants.
I
fall apart when I have to like put a Band-Aid on my daughter's boo-boo.
Yeah, you wouldn't be babysitting
fall apart.
But talk about the food, because that was huge.
Okay,
it changed
so
him so much.
So, of course, I'm like really into health and wellness. That's another thing we have in common. So there was a lot of years that Mark and I were homesteading big time, like where we were so poor. We dared never to go on food stamps. We just took every penny we had and we bought everything in bulk and we bought all these animals and we did this whole homesteading thing. So we grew all of our food that we ate, everything.
Yeah.
So then, you know, I look at labels.
Right.
I study stuff like that. I don't want GMO stuff. Mm. I don't want any of that crap. Mm. So what I did.
Christian
was,
cuss word there.
Yeah. Christian cuss word.
Very edgy.
Very, very punchy.
Sorry, kids.
Sorry, kids. Anyway, the label on there, I'm like, oh my goodness, all of this. I know all of what this is. DHEA and the food colorings and oh my goodness. And sugar was in it. High fructose corn syrup was in this stuff.
That's what I thought. It's only food, too, because they inject it into their stomach, right?
Right into the stomach with the tube.
Canola oil, high fructose corn syrup.
Yep.
What are and these people smoking? And his stomach
was Red Lake and Yellow Lake too. And it was his stomach was literally
like this,
and I could hard. Tell,
and he could, and he was in pain. So what I did was,
what is the reasoning behind that?
They wouldn't even listen to me.
It was better to put him on water.
It's hospital food.
They said no, he's doing good on this, and I said, I pulled up his shirt, and I said, he's doing good on this. You call this good?
Because he's so bloated.
Yeah. I said, this poor child. So what I did was, I ended up getting another opinion from another doctor, and I got him on this beautiful organic nourish food. So that was step one. Then he was having regular bowel movements. We didn't need the medicine anymore. Hallelujah, right? Yeah. Wow. A big win. Yeah. Big win right there. Just nutrition. Mm. And his color of his skin wasn't gray anymore.
Oh, I remember. Yes, oh, his skin was beautiful. Gray. He's a beautiful.
He's got this golden,
he's a beautiful, like a black skin. No, brown skin, I would say. He's kind
of, but he looks like just at the first he most was ash. Beautiful golden
he
brown.
He was ash, and now
beautiful.
It's just, oh,
it's
skin.
It just is. It's like, and it's soft like butter. And he used to have to take all these creams for eczema and psoriasis and all this stuff. He doesn't have anything. He just has the most beautiful skin because of his diet.
Yes.
So that was the one first win. Second on the list was to walk. So he had hip dysplasia from birth. His hip bone was all the way up by his ribs.
And his little legs were
about They weren't going to fix it. They said, he'll never walk anyways.
His legs were about like two fingers.
Oh, my
two
fingers.
Because
he never used them.
They
could never use them.
Very atrophied. Like little tiny toothpick legs.
Yep.
So I remember his first steps were at my house.
I know. That was so fun, wasn't it?
Like one of the best days of my life.
I know.
Like, I want to cry. So she just kept saying he will walk. He got his surgery,
But
they still said he wouldn't walk.
They still said he wouldn't walk. So it was a whole year. I had to set, made obstacle courses all over my house and things all over the wall that he would have to stand up and sit down and stand up and walk up some steps and this and that.
And you would just
strengthen his legs just from standing. It was so much blood, sweat, and tears. But
you would just stand
hard.
Behind him, walking and walking behind him.
I would
him,
just
walking,
keep doing keeping, it,
moving
be on
his
my
legs.
Hands and knees, and I just wouldn't give up on him. And this kid is running now.
Yeah,
running.
I remember the first day we were over at my house, Vange, you and I. And the kids, and at that point he was standing, and then
he took a step.
He took a step, and then he took another step.
And we were screaming.
Screaming at the door, like, ah! Like, I just, we saw a miracle in real life. I felt like I was one of the people watching the Red Sea, the sea pass.
Yes.
It was that huge. This child that they said would never do any of those things, and there he did it, and he was defying. The words spoken over him.
Mm-hmm.
And nice. and I have to say that was because of love and because of belief and because you poured your life out. And I know that there has been days that are super, super hard on you. Like,
oh yeah.
Like, you were one of the happiest people I know, but I know that it has been hard.
Oh yeah.
So how do you get through the hard?
I don't know. Sometimes I just put a movie on and let them watch a movie.
I don't mean that because we all do that, right? But I mean your brain space. Have you ever thought, and I've asked you this before, have you ever thought, did I make the right decision? Should I have done this? Like, what did I do? I can't undo it now, but what did I do? Because it's taken my everything. It's been hard. It's been hard, but you've
it's
loved
been the best
it.
Thing I've ever done, yes. I would say. It really has.
So you've never, and I think I asked you that once and you said, I've never had that thought.
No.
See, that's so interesting to me because I feel like you've got the scale and when you choose to like do things like this in a selfish sense, but in a sense, your dreams are over. Like whatever you had planned for your life is over. So I need more from you. I'm with Pearl. I feel like we're trying to hack this mentality. Like, I want this for me too, because I mean, I have said no to like easy stuff I should have said yes to. And it just because I want to make my dreams come true, or I want to live my life. I want to do what I had planned to do. I want to go on that trip to see my friend in California or whatever. And to take on certain responsibilities would mean that's not happening. And so I mean, I'm in awe, but I'm also like, how, what is the secret? How do you get through? How do you make that decision? Like, you knew when you took on adopting children like this that, or did you? Did you think of it that way? I mean, what's your mindset?
I don't know. I just thought of it day by day. Like, every day was a new day. I didn't think of, because I was disabled myself for about 6 years. I couldn't walk. I was in a wheelchair. Okay. And I had intense pain. So for me, I learned through that experience to, I learned that life was a gift and every day was like just, I couldn't think about tomorrow because thinking about being in chronic pain for another day was just overwhelming to me. So I got into this mindset of just every day, just taking it minute by minute some days. And I just started that habit and I've kind of, it is how I live my life.
I have to say, Aaron is, Danny, you kind of actually have lived parallel lives with Aaron in a way, because she's totally the what if you could woman. Like, you know, you grew up Memphis in the hood and you are a father now, four children. And certainly we know your parents, they're beautiful parents, but you grew up with some hard, hard stuff, Aaron, you know, I mean, you share it in your book. And, you know, there was major abuse. There was many things, many, many crazy stuff that happened to you.
Even being abducted in a foreign country. And I was trafficked.
Yeah. There's stuff that's happened to this little lovely Christian lady in his little yellow dress. but you are one of the most people that I know that carries a mindset of, like you said, I can do all things through Christ. Yes. That's what you wear as your identity.
And believe every word of the Bible. Yeah. I don't take it figuratively or spiritually. I take it word for word as if it was written right to me.
Did you say you were trafficked for your organs?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which organ?
All of them.
Well, you were in Peru at that time.
It didn't actually happen. They didn't actually.
No, because I had to escape.
Because it would have killed you.
Oh, yeah.
They were going
to. I had to actually physically, strategically break out of a cage and run for my life.
This is why I don't travel.
But that's the whole. We have to have you back for that one. But we need to get to two things. Because we're 36 minutes.
We could do a
series, right? But we need it.
But now we have to talk about the fact that he is feeding himself now.
Oh, I know.
He eats his food all by himself
with
now,
a spoon.
Oh my goodness.
You don't know how big that
therapist
is.
My body can't even take this podcast. I need to run.
The feeding therapist kept telling me, you're doing it all wrong. Yeah. He's not ready to eat like that. And I said, he is too. And I had to fire all of them. I had three different feeding therapists.
This is not to say we don't love doctors and therapists, right? Because you've actually had some good friends.
They didn't, they said, no, this never works. And I asked her, I said, give me the case study. Tell me, when did you see this not work? What I'm doing? Okay. I know why. Because you don't have any case studies. Because guess why? Nobody else would do this insanity as I'm doing. No one. I know that I'm unique.
Yeah, so
nobody else would. I literally had, remember when I wore the cast on my arms? Because my arms literally almost broke from all the stress of trying to feed this child with the spoon. I'd go like this and his hands would push against my hand like this. And he's very strong. And I would keep going to eat. And then he would put the food in his mouth. And then he would hold onto my hands. And I had to literally pry his fingers off of my hand.
Did he not want to eat?
He just had these impulses.
You kept saying to me, he wants to eat. And they always said he doesn't. It didn't look like it.
He had food aversions because of his trach.
Yeah, but
the whole throat was repaired.
Yeah.
Totally rebuilt. He breathes on his own.
So this is what I want to ask you. Two things we need to cover before the end.
But now he loves to eat.
Yes, I know.
He begs to eat. He even says the word eat.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Two things. I want to talk about Catherine, who you adopted, who will be with you for the rest of her life too, because she's also special needs. So both Alex and Catherine will be with you and Mark forever.
Yeah.
So we need to talk about that. But I want to go to really quick because you said your arms. You've been through a lot of physical challenges with yes. Alex and Catherine, and just the endurance of raising these children. You have had to be so strong because, of course, you had to carry him before he couldn't walk, and even now he needs extra. So you had to get strong.
Well, normally people have a newborn, and how much do newborns weigh, Danny?
Yeah.
8 pounds, 10 ounces.
Yeah, something.
Something like
okay, that. Okay, so I went from not carrying anything to having a 32-pound child to pick up that was like a newborn baby.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a newborn weighing 32 pounds?
Why was the newborn weighing 32 pounds?
Well, because it was Alex, because he couldn't do anything. So he's 32 pounds.
So my arms couldn't, you know, like he, you know, normal 4-year-olds, they can do some things by themselves. You don't have to carry him around like you do a newborn. But with Alex,
yes.
I had to carry him around like a newborn baby.
He was just getting started when you got him.
Yeah, because he was never taken out of the crib.
Right.
He was always in a crib, and I didn't want him to live that kind of life.
Yeah. No. So he, at the hospital, he had lived in a crib. No
he
one
lived in
him
a
out.
Crib for the first 4.5 years of his life.
Yeah, so, but you, so I've watched you then so undertake this transformation of getting yourself strong because you had to.
Because now he's about 50 pounds now. Yeah. He's gained so much weight because I puree all this super healthy food, like kefir I put in his food. Yeah. And I put berries and I put the Nourish food too, but I also put like the collagen powder and the protein powder that you offer. I put all that in baobab and raw honey and all
so
that
he
stuff.
Still can't like chew like
avocados
steak,
and everything. Can no, he no. he cannot. But he, I have to make the food a certain consistency and it's like high caloric value, like with good fats and everything. So it's about 800 calories in one cup of food.
Yeah,
which sounds like a lot, but for a little guy like that, he needs everybody can get. And he's beefing up. He almost looks a little chunky by now.
It's so cute.
What tips do you have for the world to get over ourselves?
I think the biggest cure for depression is to pour into something or somebody else other than yourself. Because you don't have time to feel sorry for yourself anymore. And who wants to just sit around and do that all the time? It's pretty boring.
Erin, you're one of the legends on planet Earth. And I mean that. I've interviewed world famous celebrities and all they've done is made us laugh. I mean, this is what fame looks like.
Yeah. Aww. And I agree. And that's why I dragged her in September. Tried to get her. We took a cruise.
Yes.
And it was like her whole life is these children. We got to talk about Catherine. You know, she adopted a Down syndrome little girl and she's just the sweetest. So, you know, Alex and Catherine together, there's two of them now.
But strangely enough,
yes,
you think, oh, Alex is so hard to take care of. Oh, he's the easiest child in the world. He's just the most beautiful, well-mannered little boy. He's just the sweetest little boy. He's like, it's almost like when I'm with him, I feel like I'm just with Jesus because he's got the sweetness and purity of Jesus. There's not one ounce or bone of guile in his body.
It's just amazing, like, you know, when especially when I see Mark with him too, your husband. And I've always said to you, like, well, Mark, what does Mark think? Was this all you pushing this on
him?
But
your
husband, Mark, just loves these children. It's like God gave you this love, this fierce love. I dragged you away because I felt like you're every waking hour was with these children. We went on a cruise. But, you know, you were just happy to go back to your life too. I mean, you loved it. But I kept thinking, boy, is she dreading going back to all that work and all that? But you weren't.
No. The minute I walked in the door, we turned on super simple songs on YouTube and we had a dance party.
Yeah. She's always
and
dancing
Alex,
with
that's
them.
What he wants. He wants nothing other than to just dance with me. He loves to dance.
And
he's a party animal.
And it's a miracle in itself because every time you're dancing with him, you're defying curses that were put on him.
Yeah.
And she just spoke them off, Danny. If there's ever like, if no one believes in miracles, I'm sorry. I mean, if someone says I don't believe in miracles, I'm just sorry. Just you're wrong. I've seen it. I have seen it. It's right here. It's in her life. It's in this trial. I've seen it. Too much. Hey, you're listening to The Potty with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
I'm Serene.
This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
This is what success looks like. Success looks like we're a day away from food stamps and we're saying yes. Because if we're not, then who's gonna?
Who's gonna? I know. Mm-hmm. And no one would have.
No,
I don't think anyone would have, but you did it. And
when he graduated from complex care, which is this big part of Vanderbilt University, they have complex care where they take care of the sickest children. And he was one of the sickest children that they took care of. Mm. And she cried when she discharged him. And they had a little bit of a party up there because they're like, you don't understand. Mm. She says, we don't ever discharge a complex kid.
Yeah, because you'd had to take them back the whole time for treat.
She said, we don't discharge them. But this child does not need us anymore.
Yeah, he's
discharged. But this never happens. She says the only time we discharge them is to the grave. Oh, sadly. They just die because they're so fragile. He's not fragile. He's so healthy.
He's so robust. But I do want to...
And he's not on any medication now, I must add.
I know. It's just incredible. But we've got to go to this part because I'm trying to bring it around to the trim and healthy part. You had to get strong. You had no other choice.
Yes.
So tell us what you did because you're so strong now. And, you know, when we're on our cruise every day, I would get up the top. I would wake up. We'd go up to this. Our special place was on the Serenity deck, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I would get up in the morning and there would be Erin and she's got her bands and she's like, I don't care
what anybody
she's
thinks.
She's training in front of everybody with her little dress and her little things underneath.
And but the cat cows.
Yes, but you've had to, right?
Oh, yeah. Because my back was always going out in my neck and I was in severe pain trying to lift these children and hoist them and turn and pick them up. So she's 36 pounds and he's 50 pounds. So you can imagine there's a lot of lifting that goes on.
Yeah, there is.
And she's a little stinker. And Down syndrome people do the plop.
Yeah.
And she does this plop thing where she like melts her whole body into the ground. And I have to try to pull up. It's like she's still like oozing down while I pick up. So I've had the strength in my arms, just like the Bible says, the virtuous woman, she strengtheneth her arms.
But you feel better now from being strong than you ever have.
I am so strong now.
Yeah.
Like I just was organizing Catherine's room and I just picked up, there was a big garbage bag full of heavy stuff in there. I just grabbed it up like this.
And that's from what
it's just like what my husband would do.
He
just
goes, hey, it's just a little routine that you design yourself with these exercise bands, right?
And I'm getting such results.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Like, feel my arms.
Oh, I know, babe. You're so strong, mate.
Mikey's like, Mom, you're ripped. She's like, look at her. She's got a six pack.
Yeah.
Can we see a bicep?
Yeah, she just showed.
Okay.
But if you feel it, that's where it is. If you feel it, it's like really solid.
So I'll take your word for it.
I'm picking up these 50-pound children and I just curl them.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's really amazing because you wouldn't be able to do this unless, you know, you took care of yourself so you can take care of others.
But I didn't do it to look good.
I know.
I didn't do it for looks.
No.
I did it so I don't injure myself.
Yes.
Because injuring is... I can't take a day off. You understand that, right?
I do understand.
Like, who's going to take care of these two children? You going to come over, Danny?
No, ma'am.
No.
Okay. Are you
she
going to?
She already tried me. No. It didn't work.
She's not coming.
I took you on a cruise.
Pearl and I are for show
help.
Only.
There's no help on the way. So Erin has to take care of herself and Erin has to be strong so I don't get injured.
And so that's why, like, you're huge. You do your Kefir daily, right, for your gut. And what else do you do?
Collagen.
Yeah.
And I take a lot of supplements, too.
Yeah.
I do. I'm constantly trying to work on my...
And you do sourdough bread, yogurt.
I juice every day.
Yeah.
I juice. I take...
But you have to.
Yes, I have to do all of it.
Yeah.
Because without my health, how can I take care of their health?
Let's talk about Catherine because we got to go because she's a precious one. Yeah.
But she's like taking care of 10 Alexes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Just because she's a little woman?
Because she is a diva.
Yeah.
She really is. We brought her to the specialist because she just had her tonsil and adenoids surgery because she was like choking on food. So the specialist wants to look at her ear and she goes like this.
Yeah, she's always doing that.
Like this.
It's glamour.
Yeah.
She's got this luscious, beautiful black long hair.
Oh, she's gorgeous. She's absolutely beautiful.
She actually is really beautiful. But she's the Dickens. Mm. She's got a very, very strong spirit, which is good because she's very high functioning. When I first got her, she was like a little blob and she couldn't really do anything. She was only a year old. And then I just worked with her all the time and talked with her all the time and just treated her like she was a normal child. And she is rising up. She helps me load and unload the dishwasher. And she does it like better than most adults do it. I'm not even kidding you. She'll get with the cup and she'll go like this and put it in the dishwasher perfectly and slide it over. And she'll like put all the dishes away properly. And she organizes silverware in the right compartments.
So would you say that your life then has been enriched?
Absolutely. 1,000%. Yeah.
It's amazing.
I look forward to, I'm dancing all day long with these children. They're my biggest fans. I don't need any other fans. I really don't, because they're just so happy to see me twirl and dance.
But I mean, I'm just going to say, if
I do all my ballet in front of them and they're just like this every time. They clap for me, and they're just like, and then I sing opera for Alex because that's his favorite thing is opera music. He likes fine dining. He likes me to light the candles, and he likes to have classical music playing while he's feeding himself his food. And then I sing, and then he always claps.
But you know, I'm thinking about it. You know, we think of the vagus nerve and all that, and what it's, you know, it's our healthy nerve, you know, in our body, turns on our immune system. Mm-hmm. Think about what it's stimulated by laughing, by dancing, mm-hmm. by giving love. Actually, giving out love stimulates our vagus nerve. So your vagus nerve is pretty much stimulated all day, and that's probably why you're so happy.
That's probably what it is. See? That's what everybody needs to do. There's 450,000 children that are waiting to be adopted in this country alone. Yeah. But who's going to do it?
Hey. My life's been changed.
Well, this is Erin. This is my co-grandma, and I wanted you guys to meet her. So, hey, we may have you back, Erin.
Aww.
See ya.
Bye, kids. Trim mama my way. And then I'll
be trim mama to stay. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.